Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, dear people, dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for holding on to the second hour, and I'd like to welcome people that are just now tuning on to the second hour. In just in case you are, we have Miss Cornelia on tonight, Miss Cornelia Mueller. I'd like to, sometimes I said I'd call her Miller because she's like my spiritual granddaughter. I call her my little Africaner granddaughter. She's only 21 years old, but man, what a brain, what a soldier. For our white people, she loves her race, she loves her people, and also this segment, this hour, we're picking up my brother Gene Andrews. I'm really glad he's coming on tonight. I've missed him. He wasn't on last week. Actually, I hadn't talked to him about 2 weeks because we had to do a rebroadcast 2 weeks ago because we had some difficulties. But anyway, like I said, I guess I'll go ahead and repeat myself. We have Miss Cornelia Mueller on. She's in Sightland, the organization Sightlanders, a civil defense group in South Africa. And, she's very aware. She's very proud of her Africaner heritage. In case you just tuned in, we've been talking about some of the things in South Africa going on. And I'm going to ask her to continue on. And then also, I'm going to ask Gene, since he's just now joining in, I'm going to ask Gene, as soon as Miss Cornelia finishes what she was talking about the first hour, I'm going to ask Gene to come in and ask her some questions. How are you doing tonight, Gene?
Well, I'm doing very well. Edward, how are you doing this evening?
I'm pretty good for an old geezer, man. I tell you what, we've just caught hell here. We've caught ice and snow, two below zero.
And we had all that last week, like, and then this is Tennessee weather. We had ice and snow piled up all over the place last week. This week is up in the 60s and out there working in the garden in shorts and a T-shirt. So, hey, if you don't like the weather in Tennessee, stick around a couple of days because it's going to change. So,
amen. And we had a pretty nice little thunderstorm pass through here a few minutes ago. I was hoping it didn't knock all of our power out like it's been doing. I was really holding my breath. But like I said, Gene, we have Miss Cornelia on tonight, Miss Cornelia Mueller. She's a 21-year-old spitfire intellectual. And as soon as she gets through covering what she was, finishing up from what she was talking about from the last hour, I want you to take over and be asking her questions and stuff. But go ahead, Miss Cornelia. Finish what you were talking about the first hour.
To be honest, I actually can't remember my thoughts. If you would just mind reminding me, sir.
Well, I'll just kind of bring you up to date. We were talking about how here in the United States, I've said that we have very few white people that identify that are racially aware and identify as being white. They like to sugarcoat what it's like being around a group of blacks. A bunch that actually hate white people. Most blacks in their heart do hate white people. That's the sad truth that people don't want to admit, but I'll sure admit it because I've been around them all my life. And it is genetic. And most white people here in the United States are too ashamed, too afraid to love their own race, love their own people, because they're so afraid of being called a racist. They'd rather have a head-on collision on the interstate than to be accused of being a racist. But with that, Miss Cornelia, we'll get Gene to ask you. I was going to ask you about how bad are the recent farm murders. Do you think, at one time, even up to 2 years ago, the black government there said that they were not going to genocide, completely wipe out all the white people yet, but they were saying maybe 3 years tops. Have you heard any more of talk of that? And I'm going to shut up, turn it over to you and Gene. Go ahead, Miss Cornelia.
So that was in an interview with Julius Malema, who is the leader of the Economic Freedom Fighters. Their name doesn't make sense because they're actually completely the opposite. They're a Marxist party, a Marxist parliamentary party. And yes, I just wanted to add to what Sir said previously about Americans, not being, rather, having a head-on collision than being called racist. It's really terrible. It's really, really terrible. But it's, ages of demoralization. And that's why having a traditional family is so important, because you basically combat that. But back to the fact of threat. So that was in an interview with Julius Malema. And since then, he stings Kielzebue at each of his rallies, which happens a couple times of the year. And his propaganda, for example, I'm going to say a policy. It's very funny because the murders are happening and these threats and this propaganda is happening. But something else that is happening is radical economic transformation. In the sense that there's a tourism equity fund now, which is like a trust, and there's a lot of money invested in it to help companies and people that struggled during the lockdown, and it's basically in the tourism sector and hospitality. But it is only for blacks. So no white person, and this was openly stated on the 26th of January in 2021, openly stated that this is going to be only for white people. And it's like when the lockdown started last year and the Minister of Tourism openly stated, oh, we're only going to give food parcels to blacks, not to whites. And it got quite silent. It's peculiar because you don't read about farm attacks just in your normal newspaper. It just, you don't see it there. You have to hear through this one whose mom it was. Was or whose father it was. So it is continuing. It is as it always is, something consistent. And it's terrible to state it like that, but it's something consistent. It occurs regularly. But something that's really radical now is how openly they're completely transforming and making these statements. Oh, we're going to base it on race. And nothing came out. There was no follow-up article about if they did follow through with only, for example, giving food parcels to blacks. But then you, on your groups and on your systems, and this is something very wonderful about State Funders, is how over like 20 years it's built such a trustworthy system that you can really communicate so well with other people in other provinces, and you have the different stages, and it's just, you know, you're really ready for assessing the risk and the situation and then, you know, handling it and treating it the right way. So that's one very, very good thing, even beforehand, you know. So we heard from a lot of personal sources, a lot of personal people, that food packages were confiscated by the police, and they just didn't give them to, like, white groups of people. But as I said, you won't read this in an article. You only hear this from the people that saw it with their own eyes, that was there. But you're not going to read this at all in any newspaper. So, yes.
That sounds like what's going on here in the United States, doesn't it, Rich? Excuse me, Gene, I'm sorry.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The news media, the prostitutes in the news media totally filter out any truth about what's going on in South Africa, and they filtered out what was going on in Rhodesia before the natives destroyed that country and turned it into a basket case. I talked to soldiers that fought in the Rhodesian army, and they said basically just what y'all are talking about here, Ms. Mueller's talking about, that they just went out and took over the farms, murdered the farmer and his wife, children, doing the same thing in South Africa. But our news media was completely silent about that. They tried to paint this rosy picture about how great it is that the natives were taking back their country that had been colonized and brought out of the Stone Age by the colonists and the English-speaking people, and how great they were. They're going to run it now, and how wonderful it was going to be. And of course, it just totally falls apart, but you don't hear that side of the story. And that's what you get with a censorship in the news, and that's what we're getting here today. I would like to throw in one point here about how foolish the American people are and how misled they've been. I think there's a book out by Arthur Kemp. It's called The War Against Whites. And I think that should be required reading for every white person in this country, especially the liberals. and he breaks it down chapter by chapter of what's going on against us, the racial hoaxes, the like the Bubba Wallace thing down at the racetrack at Talladega, and then the Jesse Smollett and all this stuff. He didn't have a whole chapter on this Floyd so-called killing by the police, and shows how he died of a drug overdose. So what is happening to South Africa, maybe not quite as violently over here, but they're laying the groundwork for that to brainwash the white people into this country, into thinking that the blacks are just so picked upon and so treated so terribly, and you know, anything that they do is perfectly all right because the way they were treated 150 years ago.
Mm. And I would actually like to add something on that. Sorry.
No, you go ahead, Ms. Corlea. Go ahead.
Thank you. So it's really, it's so terrible to, you know, see these openly. Like I said, it's not about redress, about state control. So we know that they control this narrative because, firstly, it gets support, and secondly, it just fits the narrative of international media as well. Oh, poor them, they're giving the ground black to the blacks. So there's so much things you can read about how, what percentage the blacks actually use of South Africa. AfriForum actually has a very elaborate writings on this specifically.
It's cool, you know, we have to go to a quick break. We'll be right back. Hold that thought. We'll come right back to you right after this break. Be right back, folks.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death. Like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Well, people, thank you so much for hanging on, Blood River Radio family. We have Miss Cornelia Mueller on. We also have my right-hand man, or I'm his right-hand man, Gene Andrews. And Gene, before we go back to Miss Cornelia, would you, if you remember, I know you remember better than I do, you mentioned a book called The War Against Whites. Do you remember who the author of that book was?
Arthur Kemp.
Repeat that.
Arthur Kemp.
Okay. Okay.
You can order it through the Barnes Review. Amazon isn't going to carry it, or any of the, you know, the mainstream booksellers. They won't touch that because it doesn't paint a very good picture of the chosen people. And So you have to go through alternative sources to get it. So, yeah, the war against whites. And it's basically telling what's been going on in this country for the last 20 years or so and intensified over the last year. It's very up to date. It talks about all the riots in this country during last spring and last summer and what was going on there and the motivation behind all of that. So I would highly recommend that to people to read just to get the truth about the war against us. And basically it is a war. It's been being carried on by the politicians, the media, the indoctrination centers, which all of our schools have become. So you need to know what the enemy's doing, basically. It's like when you were coaching and looking at game films of the other team. You need to know what the other team's doing.
Amen. That's the first axiom in war, I guess, is to know your enemy.
Yep.
Miss Cornelia, Gene referenced the riots that this fellow mentioned, this author Kemp, in the book The War Against Whites. I'm sure that you've been watching these riots that we've had, like, for instance, in Seattle, Washington, Portland, Oregon, Minneapolis, St. Paul, anywhere we have a large black population. How about the riots? Are y'all experiencing riots like that in South Africa, or is it more scattered and diffuse? Like with just a farm murder here, farm murder there. Are you being attacked in the cities now, in the larger hamlets, or is it just mainly in the farm murders? And then if you comment on that and comment on what Jean said, if you will.
Yes. So I have been keeping up with the riots in America, especially from last year, June, when that massive riot started and the absolute ruining of businesses and people's lives and everything is just terrible. It's really, really. So I've been keeping up to date with that as well. So in South Africa, it's not also, very mainstream media. So you, yet again, you have groups, you have intercommunication systems. And there it's, having riots is as normal as having water in the sea in South Africa. It's very
wow.
normal. It happens always, small, big. Me personally, so we moved to the Karoo last year at the end. But before that, we lived in Gauteng. And it's so a part of your life, you cannot believe it. We would drive home and you would just, see, oh, wait, they're burning tires. Wait, let's turn around and just go the other way. And you would just go to do your monthly shopping at the shopping center and someone would throw a rock at your window. And even like one of my friends who lived on the same farm than us at that time, one night she looks down the hallway and a person, a black person is looking back at her. So it's, actually disgusting how normal it became, because it's very normal. It's really the murder rate, the riots, they're very normal and it's very often. So I wouldn't be able to name exactly one now that I can think of that was just like this huge one. It's usually it happens very often and it's terrible, absolutely terrible how normal it became. And when we farmed with the sheep and so, it's just, you would just wake up the next morning and your sheep would be stolen and then you would find two of them in the road with that was basically died because the ropes were too tight on the neck. It's just, it's terrible, but it's the reality.
That is something the American people have no grasp of, that you have to exist in this brutal type of environment, and yet you just say, well, that's the way life is, and you have to get on with it. But the wimpy, sorry characters that we have in this country won't admit that it's happening. The politicians won't admit that it's happening, and the news media won't admit that it's happening, and you people are facing this battle all by yourself, and I have a tremendous amount of admiration for you to stand up to something like that, because the worthless politicians we have won't give refugee status to white Afrikaners to get out of the country and get over here, but they'll open the border and let millions and millions of drug dealers and illegals pour in from Mexico, Central, and South America into this country just by the train car load, so to speak. And yet the people that really need to be allowed in this country, they won't let them in. So it just tells you what fools are running the United States of America.
Yes, but also the American rights, it's really terrifying. You know, seeing some of the images and of the videos, it's just so aggressive. It's really, really, in America, I think they're also absolutely under thinking very little of this, but it's so much more bigger. I mean,
well,
it's really worrying. You know,
the chickens are coming home to roost, as the old saying goes. These cities where they're having these riots are run by liberal Democrats, and the liberals can't handle this. First of all, they aren't going to do anything because the people that are they're rioting out in the streets are their constituents. Those are the people that voted these clowns into office. So they're not going to do anything to them, and they're going to allow them to burn down shops and businesses and small businesses.
But it's decades of demoralization. Like, they're so liberal that they can't see. It's just they're incapable of functioning normal.
Oh, yes,
but
absolutely.
South Africa is the blue-eyed. Someone actually, I think it's Simon, I think, said this to me the other day, and he said South Africa is the blue-eyed darling of the world. It's, you know, the integration model for the whole world. So it cannot fail for the international eyes. So everyone will do everything to make this always look perfect, even though it's falling apart, every last bit of it.
Yes, absolutely. Well, it's the same type of foolish people that we have running the country here. I grew up in Nashville, lived here my whole life. And Nashville, Tennessee, used to be a nice city to live in, and now it's got the drugs, it's got the crime. Every morning the crime report comes on, and they show these faces. It looks like a professional basketball team, every one of them. There's a carjacking, there's a robbery at a convenience store, what have you. And yet they don't say who it is, but, you know, a blind person could see who's pulling off all the crimes overnight in Nashville, and it's turned it just into an unlivable hellhole. Like, and it's going to be the same way that what they've done to Detroit and Chicago and D.C. All of these other other cities, and the fools that are out there in the media and in the political arena can't understand why turning a civilization over to low IQ, subhuman types of individuals won't destroy your school system, your neighborhood, your city, and eventually your entire country.
Mm-hmm. No, that's... even though you know that it's just, you know, gobsmacking, thinking of how someone can be so self-harm and... harm-inflicting, you know, these liberals, these people that vote for the wrong candidates, these people that hate themselves, you know, hate their own race because you're oppressor just because it's gobsmacking. I'm speechless. I've never understood, and I don't think I ever will, honestly.
Well, it's suicidal, and they have a death wish or something. I don't know what. Or else they're such fools, they think that if I'm really nice to these rioters and these criminals and the racist leaders of the black community. If I'm really nice to them, they won't attack me. You know, they'll think I'm their buddy. I'm doing this for them.
Yeah. Well, and I actually have an amazing example of that. So there was a girl. She was American. I'm sure she was American, now that I think of it. Her name was Elizabeth Riley. Yes?
We've got to go to a break. We have another fellow coming on. I would like to. I really appreciate you coming on tonight. And I'd have to cut you off now. We've got to bring in Lee Cochran. I will be getting in touch with you. I would very much love to have you back on our show again as soon as possible. But I want to thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for being on. And to keep me in your prayers, we'll keep you now.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
House Democrats have approved a sweeping $1.9 trillion coronavirus relief bill. The president is now calling for swift passage in the Senate.
We have no time to waste. If we act now, decisively, quickly, and boldly, we can finally get ahead of this virus. We can finally get our economy moving again.
No Republicans in the House voted for the package. Two Democrats joined the GOP. Senate Republican Mike Rounds tells Fox News he will also vote no.
This is a $1.9 trillion increase in our national debt. Republicans had offered a reasonable expectation, saying we've already got $1 trillion, which has not been spent yet from our December proposal.
The bill includes an increase to the federal minimum wage to $15 an hour, but rules in the Senate won't allow that increase to even be considered. This is USA Radio News.
Billy Gerard here for Ocean Salmon. The New Year is on its way and you're making those resolutions. One of yours this year to eat better. And you know what? Salmon should be a part of that. And the best salmon is available delivered to you from our friends at OceanSalmon.com. Chilean farm-raised, sustainably raised in the cold Chilean waters. You know, it's one thing to make a commitment to eat better. The next step in that is knowing where your salmon comes from. The very best salmon comes from Chile. And that is OceanSalmon.com. Go right now. OceanSalmon.com. Use promo code ROCKSTAR15. You will get an additional pound of salmon. 15% off and free shipping. Ocean Salmon. OceanSalmon. OceanSalmon.com. Promo code ROCKSTAR15. Free shipping. An additional pound. Oh my goodness. And 15% off. OceanSalmon.com. OceanSalmon.com. That's OceanSalmon.com. Promo code ROCKSTAR15. Hurry. Supplies are limited.
Authorities in the nation's capital are said to be zeroing in on a suspect who may be linked to the death of Capitol Police Officer Brian Sicknick. The Associated Press says the FBI now has a video that appears to show someone spraying a chemical substance on the officer, who later collapsed and died. It was initially believed that Officer Sicknick was hit with a fire extinguisher in the head during the Capitol riot on January 6th. A federal judge on Friday has ordered an Ohio woman to remain in jail pending trial on charges she helped organize a group to attack the Capitol in January as leader of the so-called Oath Keepers militia. Jessica Watkins appeared before a judge on Friday in Washington, D.C. for a detention hearing after her arrest on January 19th. Federal prosecutors accused Watkins of being among a group of Oath Keeper leaders who worked to recruit other like-minded individuals to participate in the January 6th attack. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Well, people, welcome back. You're back to your the second. We're in the second segment of the second hour, and we're bringing Lee Cocker on. I was a little late getting back because I was stumbling through this book. Gene, we're bringing Lee on this segment, but I'm going to read something. It's relatively long, but I think this really hits the nail on the head. I'm almost through with the book. George Lincoln Rockwell, White Power. I'm sure, I don't think there's anything I can mention about history that Gene doesn't know about, but there was a fellow named Thomas Dixon. He was the author of a book that became the greatest movie of all time. The name of that movie was Birth of a Nation. And he puts this more beautifully and clearer than I could hope to imitate about our beloved Negro. He says, here's what he says, Gene and Lee. Can we assimilate the Negro? The very question is pollution. In Haiti, no white man can own land. Black dukes and marquises drive over them and swear at them for getting under their wheels. Is civilization a patent cloak with which lawmakers can wrap an animal up and make him a king? But the Negro must be protected by the ballot, protested the statesman. The humblest man must have the opportunity to rise. The real issue is democracy. The issue, sir, is civilization, not whether a Negro shall be protested. protected, but whether society is worth saving from barbarism. The statesman can educate, put in the commoner. The doctor cleared his throat with a quick little nervous cough he was in the habit of giving when deeply moved. Education, sir, is the development of that which is, since the dawn of history, the Negro has owned the continent of Africa. Rich beyond the dream of poet's fancy, crushing acres of diamonds beneath his bare black feet. Yet he never picked one up from the dust until a white man showed to him its glittering light. His land swarmed with powerful and docile animals, yet he never dreamed a horse, a harness cart, or sled. A hunter by necessity, he never made an axe, spear, or arrowhead worth preserving beyond the moment of its use. He lived as an ox, content to gaze for an hour, in a land of stone and timber. He never sawed a foot of timber, carved a block, or built a house save of broken sticks and mud. With league on league of ocean strand and miles of it in of inland seas, for 4,000 years he watched their surface rippled under the sun, heard the thunder of the surf on the beach, the howl of the storm over his head, gazed on the dim blue horizon, calling him to worlds that lie beyond, yet he never dreamed to sail. He lived as his fathers lived. He stole his food, worked his wife, sold his children, ate his brother, content to drink, sing, dance, and sport as the ape. And this creature, half child, half animal, the sport of impulse, whim, and conceit, pleased with a rattle, tickled with a straw, a being who, left to his will, roams at night and sleeps in the day, whose speech knows no word of love, whose passions once aroused as the fury of the tiger, they have set this thing to rule over the southern people. What do you think about that, Gene? Was he on the money?
Absolutely. That was that book, The Klansman, and D.W. Griffith used that to make the movie Birth of a Nation. And
yes, sir.
And shows you how retarded Hollywood is. They used to have a D.W. Griffith Award for every year with the Academy Awards for somebody that came up with some type of innovation in theater, in sound, in cinematography, in lighting, and whatever it was, whatever the greatest invention was during that year, they got an award. About 4 years ago, they changed the name of that. They took D.W. Griffith's name off of that because, he didn't portray the blacks as being super intellectual, and he told the truth about what the South was like during Reconstruction. And today, the truth is banned. In Hollywood, it's banned in the news. It's banned on Capitol Hill in Washington. You cannot use the truth in anything in this country anymore.
No way, Jose. Anecdotal evidence, I think, is as good as any. You know, Gene, I lived around blacks for the first part of my life until I was able to get out of, poor me. I came from a busted home. My mother left when I was in the second grade. All these tears falling from people in the audience. And I grew up. And my dad left me pretty much stranded in a mostly black area of Memphis. So I've always tell people I'm a professor emeritus of race relations from the University of South Memphis, but the streets of South Memphis. But that
you're lucky to be alive.
You got that right. But what that statement that I just read from this book hits it right on the head. The nail on the head. It's strictly genetics. It's straight up genetics. And before I go to Lee, I'll ask these people in South Memphis, excuse me, in Midtown that I run with all the time, the breakaway running. We have a lot of educated fools there, And they'll talk about how wonderful the blacks are at running and football and what have you. And I'll ask them, why do you think that is? Do you think it's genetic? Yes, of course. A lot of it is genetic. Then I'll say, well, what about you can say that, Gene and Lee, but you can't say, well, what about intelligence? Is that hereditary?
No.
That can't possibly
be. Your tongue will wither away and die if you say that. You can't say that. if I can give you one paragraph out of a great article out of Chronicles Magazine by Anthony Ilson.
Please.
And in this, he's talking about this cancel culture and the victim culture and things that we have today. And he says, this is his part of his article. It's just one paragraph. He said, because blacks were enslaved 150 years ago, if your skin is dark now, even if you are not a descendant of those slaves, you get points as a victim, regardless of whether your own poor decisions drag on you like a ball and chain. John C. Calhoun didn't push the cocaine your way in the hood. Jefferson Davis didn't get your girlfriend pregnant, and Robert E. Lee didn't tempt you to play video games all day when you should have been reading books.
That hits the nail on the head. I parted ways with a woman, by all means, because she really got me stirred up a couple of weeks ago. She asked me, when are the people in the South going to stop following men by the name Lee, by the name of Lee? I won't tell you on the air what I told her, but we're not on speaking terms anymore.
Well, they want to tear their statues down because they built up their people, and they were intelligent leaders. And find me one of these black so-called leaders that show any type of intelligence today, and all they want to do is play the victim game. They're the victim, you know. And the expression in the Marine Corps was, if you can't hack it, get a racket. And this is their racket because they can't hack it.
Well, you know, even they, you know what, Gene? They never even invented the wheel. It's just like this guy, this statement said from White Power. They had the richest continent in the world, hydroelectric potential, you know, diamonds, gold, you name it, oceans. They never did anything, and they literally did eat their people. They were cannibals. But, you know, before to go on much further, Gene Lee has a report he wanted to bring. He was
no,
talking about
please,
this new
get him
drug.
On, get
Lee,
him
tell
on,
us
give
about
him the
that
time
drug.
Now. Let him have the time,
hey,
please.
Hey, Lee.
Oh, yeah.
Tell us
oh,
about
Eddie?
You told me you had some kind of a drug that you want to talk about that they're using to treat COVID. Go ahead, Lee.
Yeah, it's that. Well, this just shows you they're not telling the truth about a lot of these treatments that are better than this tainted vaccine, which is really not a tainted. It's really not a vaccine. It controls your genetics and it manipulates them. That is called ivermectin, and it's doing great in trials, but, you know, it's cheap, and there's not a patent on it, so Big Pharma will lie their behind off and not do what's right for the people. And there's a site that's called Trial Site News, T-R-I-A-L Site News. And it tells about it. And, you know, it's really, you know, I'll give you an example. This other one, HDQ, anyway, I can't pronounce it, but, you know, they were saying, oh, we got to put that in trial, even though they've been using it for over 50 years. And it's found out, oh, they said they failed the trial, but they deliberately took an overdose. And they killed some people just to rig the trial. And so they said, we can't have HDQ, but that would do better than this deadly vaccine because they're saying 5% of the people. Oh, okay, I'll wait to come back.
Okay, Lee, we're going to go quick break. Okay. People will be right back. Okay. Lee can finish up telling us about this drug, and then me and Rich are going to go ahead and drop some more napalm. Me and Gene. I'm sorry, people. Be right back.
This is Attorney Jason Robb, General Counsel of the Knights Party, based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. And with that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more by listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, if those people, referring to the dictatorial federal government, if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home. As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee, 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
Being this is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Well, people, dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for holding on. We're getting ready to go back. Look, this is the last segment. It's like, go ahead, Lee, finish up quickly with that drug you were talking about, that COVID update you were talking about.
Yeah, okay, Eddie. Yeah, Gene, I was just saying, Judy Mikovits was saying in 1 to 5 years, 5% to 10% of those people that are taking this damn vaccine will be dead because it has, it's poison, it's it's a new technology that's going to hurt people. And every afternoon, you know, the news comes on and they say, oh, this vaccine is the best thing since sliced bread, but it's a Trojan horse. And it's just going to be, you know, it's like a slow motion holy call that's going, you know, but people don't know that. And, it just gets discouraging that the drug companies, they just want the money and a patent, and anything that's cheap and economical, they forget about it, and it's immoral. That's all I wanted to say.
Well, I certainly appreciate that, Lee. In other words, if we could just have that drug on hand, kind of like a penicillin, we could cure the stuff and not have to take the endless boosters. They're saying now you have to have 2 shots, 3 shots, and the endless boosters. But thank you so much, Lee, for coming on.
Okay.
Thank you for supplying that update with us, Lee. Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks.
Hey, Gene, anytime, Lee. Thank you very much. Hey, Gene, bear with me. I got one more thing I'm going to read out of this.
From
George Lincoln Rockwell. He really, I don't have time to read it all. I hope I can make sense of having to try to cherry pick. Lincoln Rockwell, he's talking about the journey he went toward when he finally got to the solution of the problems in our movement and how to cure it. And he says, I realized even then that talking and education are useless unless they are directed at the only worthwhile political goal, power. And here you go. Here's where you start getting to the meat. But I recognized without any knowledge of the human content of the right wing in those days, from the millionaires to the scared little people who attend the endless, pitiful, conservative, 100% American, old-fashioned constitutional states' rights meetings, I learned by bitter experience that the human material of the right wing consists of 90% of cowards. Boy, and the coward, that's my pet peeve right there, the damn cowards in our movement. Dopes, nuts, one-track minds, blabbermouth, boobs, incurable tightwads. God knows we got those. And I got to flip the page. And of all hobbyists, people who have come to enjoy a perverted, masochistic pleasure in telling each other forever how we are all being raped by the shush you know who's, but they won't mention it. Under no circumstances would they risk their 2 cars, their landscaped homes, their juicy jobs to do something about it. I'm gonna go back on this other page and pound the cowards. This is what I've said. You know, we talked about these liberals, these
false, these educated fools, you know, have all this education, but they can't come to the common sense. They will not name the enemy. Anyway, Gene, I just had to, that was that one more reading I thought I wanted to get out of that book.
No, that's very accurate. Rockwell. That's very accurate. And I've said all along, we're going to lose because the liberals will stick together. You get the blacks, you get the tree huggers, you get the LBGTQTC, whatever, NC and St. L, L and N, all of that kind of stuff. They all stick together to push it, whatever issue it is. And we don't. We split up and we fight among ourselves and we think we win a vote in the General Assembly in the state legislature, and then we say, oh, good, that's over. We don't have to fool with that anymore. We can go back to painting our face orange and white and going to Knoxville and watching the Vols play. And not many people are doing that over the last 3 or 4 years. But anyway, when they used to go up there and watch a decent football team play. So, you know, we don't understand that most of the time we're our own worst enemy.
That's for sure. You know, I could not agree with you more, Gene. You know, our people say that our movement is split, that white people are split. But I just, and I've been around, you know, for going on 74 years now, but I do believe that cowardice is the number one weakness in our movement. I think people are so afraid. Just like this guy said, I've said that all along. Just like Lincoln, bless his heart, he's dead now. He was assassinated. I don't know when, but that guy had he had some cojones. But if we could just get, you know, a third of our white men in this country here with enough courage, we could turn this. We could turn the government around. We could turn our country around pretty fast. But we just don't have courage. And you know, I was listening to the news. I may be kind of going down rabbit trails now, Gene, but I was listening to some of the news. And, you know, they have these congressional hearings now about domestic terrorism. And I'm leading to a point. You know, they're still freaking out about that. What was it, January 6th, when we had that big riot, so-called riot in Washington, D.C.?
Yeah.
And they're looking into all the people that are you know, sedition and insurrection and all this stuff. And they're trying to figure out what happened, why. Well, I would tell the fools that, yeah, you know, you came in and you stole the election, the communists, the LGBTYN, like you said, these people that hate America, they hate white people, they hate Christians, you know, they hate, especially hate Southerners. You came in and you stole the election, you've taken over the military, you've taken over the universities, and you said that you're coming to kill us, that you're coming to kill white people. They've said it. They're going to send us to concentration camps, re-education camps, and we're just, then if we don't just sit here and take it and just bend over and say, yeah, come on and kill us. If we try to lift a hand and go back and reverse this thing, then we're considered, you know, insurrectionists. I noticed it. I'm going to get right back to you, Gene. I noticed, you know, we used to say, we what country, you know, alphabet country are we invading this week? Iran, Iraq, Pakistan. If we go over there, if the United States military goes over there and bombs and napalms white phosphorus and it starts raping their moms and dads and their sisters, if they resist it, they're insurgents. They're actually, Gene, they're actually talking about insurgents being in this country right now, Gene.
Oh, yeah.
And one more thing I'll say, I'm going to bounce it back to you. I noticed just today they started bombing Syria again, the only country over there in the Middle East that's giving safe haven to Christians. You know, and they said that the news report said that every president going all the way back, I guess all the way to Pappy Bush, when they come in the White House, they start bombing Syria. But go ahead, back to you, Gene.
Well, yeah, that's their target of choice. No, and it's just, it's pitiful that they get away with this, and the news media supports all this labeling anybody that disagrees with them as a domestic terrorist. And they know they can say that because nobody's going to call their hand on them. It's like that drooling idiot that we have for a president, Sleepy Joe. He talks about white supremacy and you know, institutional racism. Never defines what that is. Never once has defined what that is. But he throws those terms around because it sounds good. It makes him sound good. And it sounds good to his constituents that elected him or that helped him steal the election. And that's just something they do, and the news media backs it up. They go right along with it. So, you know, other than Blood River Radio, where are you going to go to try to find people that are going to tell you the truth?
Well, I tell you what, thanks to people like you, Gene, we're going to tell the truth, come hell or high water. You know, Gene, in the opening prayer, we started this program tonight, and I probably butchered it, but you know, I've said I was almost embarrassed, almost ashamed to go to ask God to bless this country anymore, to bless us, but you know, because we have turned our back on God, we've become so perverted. I mean, have you seen, Gene? Have you seen that thing, that abomination, that big fat man with long hair and claiming to be some training into something? I don't know if he's training into sex A, sex B, sex C. What is he supposed to be, head of the health and education? Well, some kind of a, you know, I think the health and education, the department in the federal government. They're up there having hearings for him. You know, yeah. I mean, when we start putting trans, I mean, Gene, can you imagine? You and me are the same age. Back when we were in high school, if anybody even thought you were queer, your career was over, man. I mean, you wouldn't dare come out of the closet. But did you ever think, Gene, you would see these open perverts being paraded in the government? I mean, everybody that this guy, this clown president we got now, is putting in, they're either black or Jewish and or, you know, lesbians or queers, whatever. I mean, I think God's bringing judgment on our country because of that, Gene. I mean, what do you think about that, fella?
Well, my brother has this theory, and he's studied a lot on it, that that empires only last a certain time span. And you go back, and the Egyptians, the Roman Empire, the Carthaginians, the Spanish Empire, the British Empire, whatever, and they have a certain time period. And then there's another cycle of 80-year cycles in history about cataclysmic events that come along, world wars and plagues and things like that. And he said there are three of those things that are all due to come together in or around within 5 or 10 years of 2030. And that is, a lot of these people really believing that that's going to be the end of this country. And with Biden in there, it may come a lot sooner than 2030. But, you know, no empire can survive. It hadn't in history. And that's not being anti-American. That's just being historically accurate, that empires have a lifespan. They decline because the people get fat, they get lazy. They won't protect their country. They have to hire mercenaries to protect their borders, which is what we're doing. And eventually, it just implodes on itself. It doesn't have to be invaded by a foreign country. That most of these empires collapse from within. And that's just a historical fact. And that's, you can see that's what is happening to this country with the perversion, the printing tons and tons of paper money that has basically no value, nothing backing it up, and spending themselves into debt, it will collapse. And it may be a lot sooner than 2030.
You know, Gene, I know we're about out of time, but I'm going to chime in on what you said. You know, probably the military right now, I shudder to think what percent of the military, especially the Army and the Marine Corps, are filled up by foreigners. They're bringing, yeah. My wife's cousin was just crowing some years ago about, you know, he's one of these kind of liberals. He says, you know, we're bringing these Mexicans in, these people from South America, from India, and they're bringing them, if they'll come in our military and serve in the military, they're worthy of giving them citizenship. Gene, is that,
sure.
You're a historian. Is that not the same thing that happened in the Roman Empire?
They
started
Absolutely.
Hiring their
soldiers. And that is not by chance. That's what the elitists and the politicians want. They want our military made up of these illegal aliens coming in because they don't care. They will turn around and kill native-born Americans and not think twice about it because they don't care about the Constitution. You know, they're getting three hots and a cot, and that's all they want.
Glee, Gene, because, you know, basically white people are hated by every other race in the world. I don't care what anybody says, it's genetic. Thank you so much for coming on tonight, Gene. I will be
yes, sir.
Back to you soon, my brother. Thank you, Lee, for coming on. Thank you, Miss Bethany, for running the show. Thank you, Miss Cornelia, for coming on. Thank you, dear Blood River Radio audience. And so tune in next week, March the 6th. It's going to be one hell of a show. I hope we don't get kicked off next week. Good night, everybody.